I recently sat down with Dr. Glenn Dewar, Associate Professor of International Studies, and Dr. Mark Caleb Smith, Director of the Center for Political Studies at Cedarville University, to discuss the proposed relocation of the U.S. Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Here's what they had to say about this and what it means for Christians around the world. Well, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Morning.
Good morning.
Recently, the President of the United States announced the controversial decision to relocate the U.S. Embassy from its present site in Tel Aviv, Israel, to the city of Jerusalem. What has prevented previous administrations from doing this?
Yeah, there are a lot of moving parts in the Middle East. And for a number of previous presidents, really post-Jimmy Carter forward, they've been concerned about a potential backlash or another major war akin to the 1967 and 1973 wars against Israel. It's seen as a provocative move. We have our embassy in Tel Aviv. We also have a consulate already in Jerusalem. But moving the embassy to Jerusalem would be a major move. And the fear has always been stirring up a bee's nest beyond what it already is in the region.
Sure. Dr. Smith, what are your thoughts on the president's decision to relocate the embassy to Jerusalem?
It's interesting, I think, because I look at it more from a domestic point of view. I study religion and politics in America primarily. I think Donald Trump has an interesting relationship with evangelicals.
Mm-hmm.
I think he understands that evangelicals are one of, if not his major source of support within the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And I think he sees this to some degree as a matter of continuing that support. I don't want to challenge whether or not he sincerely believes this, but it's very politically expedient for him to look at evangelicals and say, I've made this promise. I'm going to follow through on this. You care very deeply about Israel. It's part of your tradition, part of your heritage, part of your theology.
Sure.
And now he can say, look, we're making steps here in order to secure this as an ally as we continue to move forward. And so I think it plays very strongly for the president domestically.
Yes.
And I think it helps him as he continues to look forward to 2020.
Well, what's the significance of making this move from Tel Aviv to Israel on a global scale? Will we be seeing other countries follow suit?
Yeah, it's a difficult one because in the United Nations General Assembly, there are numerous resolution requests and resolutions that have passed against Israel, admonishing Israel for a range of different things. And so this pushes back against that a bit. It gives Israel some cover in a sense. But with the U.S. making its announcement, there are roughly a dozen countries that have said, we will follow the United States if the United States moves it. And it's still a big if because it's potentially a costly endeavor, maybe upwards of $1 billion. The embassy in Baghdad in Iraq, for example, the new one we built about a decade ago, it cost $750 million.
Yeah.
So it's a very costly endeavor, and then it's fraught with political challenges. But there are peaceful signs in the Middle East, at least for Israel, with, as we mentioned this, as we talked this morning, with the Arab Spring, it's provided Israel with a bit of a breather because a lot of countries are focused domestically. And so a number of U.S. allies have said, yeah, we will move as well. And so maybe this is the time to do it. Maybe this is the appropriate occasion in which to make a change. And now, having said that, too, a lot of the major Israeli facilities, the Knesset, the foreign ministry, et cetera, already located in Jerusalem. But this is outside recognition.
Well, Dr. Smith, from a domestic viewpoint, is there potential backlash that the president might see for those who will resist this move?
I think that it's very possible you'll see some backlash. I mean, when you look at domestic groups, I'm not sure you'll see dramatic. I mean, certainly there are groups mm-hmm. that are going to oppose the president no matter what he does. He's proven to be a foil for them, and no matter what he says or does, he's going to get resistance from those quarters. I'm not sure you'll see significant resistance, though, from mainstream parties, for example, or the Democratic Party will step out strongly and oppose these sorts of things. I mean, after all, they're concerned about their own constituents as well.
Yes.
The Democrats have had pretty strong support from Jewish Americans for generations now. They don't want to alienate them as supporters. So I don't think you'll get a lot of resistance there. And I think you may get people who will challenge the president to say, will this complicate our war on terror? You know, will this make it more difficult for us to continue to prosecute our efforts against ISIS, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We need all the international support we can get. Will this make it harder for us to garner that support moving forward? And what has been a relatively successful part of the president's agenda? So I think you will see some pushback here and there, but I'd be surprised if it gets really dramatic.
Well, how's the church to respond to this? What does this transition mean for the larger global Christian community?
Certainly in terms of the location of Jerusalem, its centrality to Scripture, a sacred place in many ways, it means an awful lot for Christians symbolically. In terms of what it will look like in day-to-day business, governance, etc., not a lot is going to change from that standpoint. It could also serve as something of a rallying cry. Chinese Christians, for example, have talked about bringing the gospel back to Jerusalem, kind of using the Silk Road as a mechanism to do that. So it could really encourage the global church, but there is the danger, too, of a return to violence or some form of challenge. There's been a six-week protest amongst Palestinians, for example. If that flares up even further, there are dangers. So there are pros and cons, certainly.
Yes. Jerusalem is central to God's plan. So scripturally, does this point to any prophetic fulfillment?
Well, whenever you get into the topic of prophecy, you get into complexity, right?
Yes.
And you're going to get into a lot of disagreement over how to interpret things like the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. And so I don't plan on settling those disagreements.
Absolutely
right now.
Not.
but I will say, I think when you look at how scripture treats Israel, and then you look at how we view them today, there's a fair bit of confusion, I think, for some people. They look at the nation of Israel and they still equate it to some extent with the people of God. Well, the relationship that God has with the people of Israel is a little different now than what we see certainly in the Old Testament. So no matter how you want to interpret Scripture moving forward, it isn't quite the same to say, well, we're interacting now with the people of God who are Israel's, the same way we'd have said that about them during the Old Testament times. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to at least take a step back and think about Israel now functioning differently than they would have when they were really fulfilling that particular role that God had laid out for them. However, I think Scripture does make it clear that Israel plays a role moving forward.
Yes.
We might argue about the particulars of that role and when it might take place and exactly the mechanics of when Christ returns and all of that. However, I think there's a real role for evangelicals to look at this situation and say, we do recognize Israel. They have a special place to play in the unfolding of prophecy. Mm-hmm. They also have a special place to play for us politically, as a strong ally within the region that's also democratic. And so in that sense, you have to sort of work with both of those together simultaneously when you look at an issue like this.
Well, Dr. Dewar, if you could just summarize very quickly, what can we expect to see in the near term?
Yeah, there's this part of me that wonders whether they'll try and make a quick swap. I mean, if this becomes too complex or too costly, or there, as Dr. Smith mentioned, domestic issues that make this more difficult, they could, in theory, just swap the name of the embassy in Tel Aviv with the consulate in Jerusalem and say, well, we made the switch. I'm guessing, though, with President Trump, he's going to want something grander, the billion-dollar embassy that's central in Jerusalem. If you go to a lot of different countries around the world, the United States Embassy is very, very well placed, very close to the halls of power in those countries. And I imagine there'll be something similar in Jerusalem.
Well, no greater seat of power than that right in Jerusalem, regardless of where it's located inside the city walls. I've been speaking with Dr. Glenn Dewar, Associate Professor of International Studies, and Dr. Mark Caleb Smith, Director of the Center for Political Studies at Cedarville University, to discuss the proposed relocation of the U.S. Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. A fascinating discussion, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.